This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Jeffrey, so now is the sky falling? Now? But I'll tell you the way it's falling. I mean, if the sky is falling, Jeffrey, the way that it's falling is you're going to look up and it's going to seem fine and fine and fine. It's going to look like it's fine. And then in the last 2 seconds, it's going to fall. It's going to come crashing down. If the sky is falling, there is a way, a certain way in which it is falling, and it is falling late and dramatically. Today on the radio show, it's Tuesday, and so we've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I'm wearing the official Fish on Friday on Tuesday t-shirt today in honor of it. We've had this for a while. Claire made it, and I think she made exactly two of them, one for me and one for Fishman. And neither of us ever wear them because they're a little weird. But I'm wearing it today.
I don't know if it's the shirts themselves are weird. Because Ron Olson, when we first started Jeffrey Wright and Company, Ron made me a sweatshirt that says Jeffrey Wright and Company.
That's nice.
And I've worn
it. That's really nice.
No, it's a fabulous gift. I've worn it out and about a couple times, and I do kind of feel it's truly one of one.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's a weird, it's like, I don't think it's necessarily weird that the shirt.
It would be me wearing it?
It's the fact that, like, you feel like you're going out as your own
billboard.
Advertising
yourself, right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but I guess I would think, would anyone really want to wear this shirt, and other than me and Charles? And I think, no. I think the answer is no. I don't think people would even, what is it, what's happening there? Why are these, I look jaunty, though, in it. Fishman doesn't like the image of him, and now I understand it because he's kind of scowling, which is what he does. And I got my coffee and I look happy, and maybe that's why he doesn't like it. Anyway, we'll discuss that with Charles and more. We got tariffs today, and let's see what the impact is. Let's just take a speaking of sky is falling. Let's take a quick look at the S&P 500 is down 1.5% today. Yesterday, it was the largest one-day decrease. Once the tariffs were very clear, they were happening in a year. And then today, it's down another 1.5%. And
gold's up 20%.
And we also have storms coming today, Jeffrey. I tweeted last night that everything is awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was fair. I didn't think it was overreaction in the wake of the Grizzlies game and everything else. But some people said I was ignoring the fact that the Tigers had, you know, on the verge of clinching a conference championship, and that the Memphis Football Tigers had won 11 games this year. And I said back, I said, listen, given what's going on everywhere as I look around, the fact that the Memphis Football Tigers won 11 games and still didn't get to a conference championship game 2 months ago didn't really perk me up.
Mm-hmm. Didn't lift your spirits.
Didn't lift my spirit. As much as you thought, maybe I'm just being sour.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, after the Grizzlies lost in devastating fashion, to make it 3 straight losses in devastating fashion, and given everything else, it seemed to me that everything was awful. But we will try to lift your spirits, if only by commiserating today. We got the Chris Harrington. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. That is the second hour. The first hour is the two of us. And Jeffrey, Grizz lose 132-130. Is this the low point of the season?
I think you have to say yes, because A, it's the first time they've lost three consecutive games, and B, Jaren got hurt in the first quarter.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt. Like, there are games that you could say, listen, if you remove it from all context and you say they lost a game to Atlanta in the final moments in a game that they didn't have Jaren or Ja or Santi, that's actually, there's no humiliation in losing. I mean, the truth of the matter is, Atlanta's not a good team. They're in the play-in in the East because it's the East, right? But they're not a good basketball team. But if you take Jaren and Ja away, they're every bit as talented as Memphis. You know, if you take Jaren and Ja away, you could argue they're better. Like, in a seven-game series between Atlanta and Memphis without Jaren or Ja, I might well take Atlanta. There is no shame necessarily in losing a game to Atlanta when you don't have your two best players.
Yeah.
Right? But, of course, we don't remove it from a context. And, yes, this wasn't, as an individual humiliation, it wasn't close to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, which was a punking and was at full health and was a more humiliating individual game.
You looked like you were playing two sports, different sports that game.
But given everything, this is the low point of the season. And you're right. Everything includes a bunch of stuff. Everything includes the fact that you've now lost three in a row for the first time this year. Everything includes the fact that you've now lost 6 of 8. Everything includes the fact that you got Oklahoma City next, and so you're looking at what is likely a 1-4 homestand. Everything includes the fact that Ja's shoulder continues to be a real problem. He missed now his second game by missing last night. Chris Harrington asked Taylor Jenkins about the shoulder, and we'll get into that later. But it wasn't particularly reassuring. And everything includes the fact that then Jaren went down. And everything includes the fact of the way they lost. It is not, in fact, humiliating to lose to that Atlanta team, given who you had. The way they lost it? The way they lost it is absolutely a gut punch. Again, it comes after losing two other games in the final moments to the Knicks and to the Spurs. And then you're up. You're up 124-113 with 6:40 left. God bless Pete Pranica, by the way. He said, I want to tell you all, and he basically warned everyone, you're up 11 with 6.5 minutes left. You're up 128-121 with 4:05 left. Guess how many buckets, Jeffrey, they scored in the last 4:04. They were up 128-101. They had 7 possessions after that. How many resulted in points?
One.
The Edie dunk.
Yep.
Otherwise, it was a complete S show. I mean, they weren't, missed an open shot. It was every single possession looked worse than the next. It was a complete disaster. It was Dez in the end throwing up 35 footers covered at the end of the shot clock, or it was ridiculousness. And then, of course, Dez, who was so brilliant for so much of the game, stunningly, had a triple-double, 35, 10, and 10. I mean, he was brilliant until those last, not just the last possession, honestly, until the last 4:05.
Until he got punched in the face.
And then Dyson Daniels strips him. Terrific defensive player. Dez is having to be point guard, which he's not.
Yep.
And the Grizzlies lose literally at the buzzer. Absolute gut punch. You had Sean Coleman, who writes and comments about the Grizzlies. He had this stat. Three straight losses by two or fewer points vis-a-vis an end-of-the-game shot with fewer than 6 seconds. Okay? So you lose three straight times on an opposition-made shot with 6 seconds or fewer left. That had not happened in the NBA. It has not ever happened to the Grizzlies. Had not happened in the NBA since Seattle in 2002. Like, what we have just endured.
They're not even a team anymore.
And they're not even a team anymore. What we they were so disgusted by that. They didn't just leave. They went to Oklahoma, of all places. So it was, if this has felt like an unprecedented series of gut punches, it's because it is a virtually unprecedented series of gut punches. You're just left there. When it happened, Jeffrey, where were you sitting? Were you standing? Was your mouth agape? What was your reaction?
I think I told Aaliyah, that's about right. Because the thing, I tweeted this last night. The thing about this game was, if you were watching and you saw someone was up seven and you just like went and looked down at your phone for 30 seconds, you'd look up and the game was tied. Like, this game had unbelievable
swings.
But the biggest problem that I had the fourth quarter is like they just weren't getting good possessions.
It was 6 of the last 7 possessions were a complete disaster.
Correct.
And you can imagine, you can have possessions that, kind of clunky in that one, didn't ever get into their offense, whatever. Literally, 6 of the last 7 possessions were a complete freaking disaster. And this wasn't against, this wasn't against the Thunder. This wasn't against the best defensive team in the league. It was against the Atlanta Hawks. And they could not run a decent possession in the last 7, except for the one Edie dunk. Beyond that, it was a complete S show. And that's on top of, let's be honest, the bigger macro problem is the reason they were in the fix they were in to begin with is their defense, once again, just atrocious. Gave up literally in the first half 50 points in the paint in the first half. Gave up 82 points in the paint overall. Gave up 57% shooting. They yielded 57% shooting. Jaren Jackson Jr., provided he now gets to 65 games, this is another feather in his cap for the old defensive player of the year when you see what they look like without him. Because that was a complete S show as well. Another 20 turnovers leading to 29 points. I mean, it's runouts, it's dunks, it's back cuts. It was easy. They're shooting 57% they shot. And so now you have this defense. And by the way, yes, this time it was without Jaren. You give up, the ridiculous first half without Jaren in this one. But the previous games weren't that. So here, Hawks, a 42-point second quarter, a 70-point half.
Yep.
Okay, like, oh, boy. Bet that doesn't happen much.
Like they clamped down. They improved by 10 in the second half, though.
Spurs, against the Spurs, it was a 46-point second quarter and a 77-point half. Against the Suns, it was a 41-point third quarter and a 75-point second half. Against Cleveland, locked them down, held them to a 67-point second half. Indiana, a 50-point second quarter a 78-point half. So since the All-Star break, they have given up quarters of 42, 46, 41, and 50. Since the All-Star break, they have given up halves of 70, 77, 67, and 78. And all but one of those games was with Jaren. So it is a yes, it is the low point of the season. And now you got Jaren down for we don't know how long, but it's certainly, I assume that it will be including the Oklahoma Oklahoma City game. Don't you think so?
I mean, if he was like, they basically immediately ruled him out.
Yeah.
I do agree with Vernon post game. He's like, hey, at least I was happy that they said it was ankle, not foot. But I mean, they immediately ruled him out. I don't think you just turn right around and play the next on whatever 48 hours later.
Now, the good news is after Oklahoma City, you got Dallas and they got their own injury problems, Jeffrey. I mean, I don't wish any injury on anyone, of course. But Kyrie's was a knee, sprained knee. He hobbled up, shot his free throws, and then off he went as they lost to the Kings. So, yeah, it is the lowest point of the season, unquestionably. And let's go back to Ja Morant. Ja was out again last night with shoulder soreness. Taylor Jenkins called it a short-term concern. So Chris Harrington then asked a question, and Taylor Jenkins answered, and here is that back and forth. Chris, when you characterize the Ja thing as short-term, there is the injury history on that shoulder. He hasn't played more than five consecutive games at all this season and now out with soreness after a day off. How do you have confidence that he's going to be able to sustain playoff basketball in terms of having to play 5, 6, 7, 8, if you're lucky, 9, 10, 11 games in a row when he hasn't been able to do that all season? And Taylor's answer is, yeah, I mean, it's the conversations with him, the medical team. We've got faith. I mean, obviously, it's something that we're going to have to navigate right now. But, you know, this kid is built for the tough moments for sure. So that's why I'm focused on it being short-term right now. That's what the medical team is telling me. Obviously, it's just kind of like lingering soreness. But as the season gets deeper, you know, I have faith that Ja is going to be ready to play whatever he needs, you know, minute-wise, duration of games, all of that. What'd you make of that?
Didn't sound like, hey, he's going to play a lot the rest of the way.
It was a Taylor Jenkins answer, right? And what are they going to say? Okay, let me ask you this. Let's phrase it this way. Well, I was thinking of asking either of two questions. I'll let you choose your own adventure.
All right.
Okay. What troubles you most about the Grizzlies right now? Well, the second question, choose your own adventure, is can you see them getting out of this, and what is the way out?
All right, so I'll take the first one. What troubles me the most is a combination of injuries, and I think this is a remarkably soft team.
Okay. I think what troubles me the most is the injuries, right? I like in all of this, in the end, you back up. They lost to a good Knicks team at the buzzer.
Yep.
Then they didn't play the roster.
Yep.
Which I blame them for. I was outraged about yesterday. But it's not really indicative of what the team can do when it's healthy and at full strength, right? Because they weren't, right? Like, just they chose not
it's
to
not
play
these
dudes. It's
not a reflection of the team that
you would expect
them to play.
So the first game was, and they lost to whatever. And then last night, no Ja, no Jaren, also not a reflection of what the team is when you expect them to what they are at their best. What do you expect them to be in the playoffs? So, so what's really troublesome, the most troublesome thing, is that Ja continues to deal with this shoulder. And this is, by the way, you go back to what Chris was talking about literally a week ago and that you had originally brought up, like, okay, now Josh seems more locked in, still seems aggravated. You know, he still seems perpetually aggravated. The gets the T on the whatever he seems, but he seems more engaged, but he's still not, you know, he's not doing what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was doing. You know, like, he's not putting up 40-point games. He's not looking like his electric self. Why not? You said 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you think it's lingering banged upness.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't even look like he did at the beginning of the year.
It's pretty clear lingering banged upness. So, which is now, by the way, keeping him out of games. So we don't know if we're going to get Ja. And once you get Ja, I'm pretty much resigned to the fact that you're getting 80, 90% Ja. So that's a massive problem if you had high expectations for a playoff run. And then you layer on top of it the injury to Jaron. Injuries are unquestionably the biggest concern for me right now. The second biggest concern, I think, is the one that you echo. Soft is one way to put it. There is just fundamentally a lack of seriousness to this team.
Yeah.
You know, like, it honestly, you can argue there was a lack of seriousness in the way they addressed their bigs in the offseason, in the way they addressed the trade deadline, and in the way they address games. You know, like the way they address their roster, pushing players to play, like the 11-man rotations, the, like, are you trying to win games? I will say the I don't look at the standings philosophy is going to could serve me well in the next week or so that Taylor embraced yesterday, mocking the idea of looking at the standings. I kind of think standings are important. It feels like there is such a dedication to process with this team that it is kind of diminished the importance of results.
I totally agree. I mean, I took notice of this, and I don't know if you had sound on the whole game or whatnot. Brevin even kind of went after the standings comment. I mean, he did it diplomatically, but he's like, what are you looking at then?
In the end, you are in the end trying to win games. Not every game playing everyone till they drop dead.
This isn't minor league sports. This isn't about development. You're not trying to get people.
So it's not that you're even saying that individuals are soft. You think it's an organizational softness?
They've gotten rid of all their tough guys. And some of which I've agreed with. Like, I do think at the end,
it was time to part ways with Dylan.
It was. And financially, it didn't make sense. Like, so I can acknowledge it. I still think it's absolutely stupid that they acted like the only way they could get the deal from Washington was to trade Smart then. It's like, you're telling me if you attach a first-round pick and say, someone come take Marcus Smart, that wasn't going to be there this summer?
It's funny. Someone suggested to me yesterday, and I do not subscribe to this, but I did get an email yesterday from someone who said, you know, Marcus Smart wasn't playing, but he was there coaching them from the sidelines, and they miss him. Ever since Marcus Smart has disappeared, they've been spiraling. And I do not buy that.
I don't think
any of this is connected to the Marcus Smart's absence. My suspicion is that they actually thought his presence was a detriment, right? Not an asset. But that's my suspicion. Otherwise, why would you have done it? So,
you know what sometimes the tough guys do? They make it a little uncomfortable.
To be soft.
Yeah.
That's a theory. So there is all of that. And then the defense has just completely collapsed. The defense has absolutely collapsed.
I think Chris's note yesterday was, I think post All-Star game, they're like bottom five.
Sean Coleman again from Twitter. For the month of February, they are 30th in the defensive rating for the second quarter. 30th in defensive rating in the second quarter and 29th in point differential in the second quarter. They're minus 57. They were minus 57 in the month of February in point differential. So,
but, I mean, it goes back to the point that you made to start this. You're giving up 50-point quarters.
Right, you're giving up 70 multiple. You're giving up since the freaking All-Star break, you have given up five halves of 67 or more points, four halves of 70 or more points.
Like, you're just digging a hole that, you know, and I think this echoes what Santi said to Drew, or maybe it was in the locker room after Saturday, where it's like, we go through the motions and we think like in the fourth quarter, we'll get it done. But that speaks to the overall point that you're talking about. It's like, there's just a lack of seriousness.
Okay. So then the second question, and these actually lined up quite well, is can you see a way out of this?
Can I see a way out of it? Yes. The problem, though, is I think it requires them getting healthy.
I think you can easily see a way out of it. Yes, it does. But it's pretty simple. Like, Jaren has an ankle sprain, and he comes back from his ankle sprain, right? That's whatever. That doesn't seem impossible.
Agreed.
The harder one is that Ja is going to somehow be a fully healthy Ja.
To what degree are you getting Ja?
Yeah. But Houston did lose again last night. It was to Oklahoma City, mind you, and you got Oklahoma City next. But you are still up a game on Houston. Now, they got the tiebreaker. And so you can easily imagine them. And you're still only one game behind the Lakers in Denver.
Yes.
So if you get healthy, and who knows, they may have a new renewed commitment to whatever, seriousness, defense, not turning the ball over, although that's been a problem all year long.
I think I'm setting turnovers aside. I think that's just going to be what it is.
I mean, last night we had, in addition to, I think Gigi was 5 and Vince 4, Gigi with 5 turnovers, Vince 4 turnovers, 20 total. But I can 100%, I can see that. It is not inconceivable to me. It feels it now, given what we've just experienced, and then given the poor health. It is not inconceivable that they finish second. It is not inconceivable that they finish third. It seems most likely at this point, given the injuries, that they'll finish 5th. If I tell you that what they do, Jeffrey, is they finish 5th, and then they lose in
6.
5 or 6. 6. Okay. We'll say 6. Although that would mean losing at
home
floor. But so, and then they lose in 6 to Houston. What will you think of the year?
Who plays in that playoff series?
Whatever. They're basically healthy. Jaws can be diminished. They're basically healthy. They're healthy.
So that would likely resemble what we've seen when the Rockets and Grizzlies play this year, where they just got
They might be a bad break at the end of one game,
sure,
or something. Maybe there's a bad call.
Right. Maybe they win one
about,
game.
Whatever.
Yeah. They win one game.
They win a game.
And then
they come back. They lose the first two in Houston. They come back and win a game.
Okay.
Whatever. They're all close. They're not getting blown out in any of them. We're not going to stipulate blowouts or whatever.
I think fundamentally you'd have to take big picture approach and say, okay, they got back on track.
Yes, but it would be disappointing.
Oh, no question.
There's no question you'd be disappointing. And I think
you'd have massive questions.
And I think you'd have massive changes. I think you'd have changes. You'd say, okay, this is gone about as far as it can go.
Okay, so here's the only pushback I have to that. I think if you were saying in a vacuum, that is true. Just knowing what the NBA is, that's true. The problem that I have is, and this is where I don't want to say that, like, I think the coaching issues are non-existent. I think there have been some late game blunders. I really do. But I also fundamentally don't think that Taylor Jenkins is doing anything that is opposed to the front office.
That's fine, but in the end, you just recognize it's time. Like, in the end, the job of the coach, I agree with that. The job of the coach is to get the most out of this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you think of the first half of the year when they were beating bad teams and they lost to some good teams and they were also not completely healthy and whatever else, this particular stretch, again, it's just one stretch and who knows what's going to happen in the next stretch of games. Well, they may win that playoff series. They may win the next playoff series. They may be in the 2-3 and win it, whatever. I'm not predicting any of this now. I was just saying in this circumstance. But I do think this last stretch of games has been damning because you've been healthy. And you're giving up 70-point halves. Like, that's damning to me. You've been healthy, you're giving up 70-point halves, and you're giving up crazy turnovers every single game. How is that a well-coached team?
I agree with you. I guess the my pushback would that be is, like, I never thought this was that good of a defensive team anyway, because the type of players that they value oftentimes are finesse players.
But that's fine. That's fine. And obviously now the numbers last night without Jaren, I just think that would be making way too many excuses for him. In the end, you are what your record says you are, and what they are right now is a 1-4 homestand. Yep. I think this would be held. And I think it would be...
I think they were favored in all
and
five.
And the truth of the matter is, at that point, you would have been... You were okay, you're not necessarily supposed to have been better than Oklahoma City this year, but you've been... At that point, you would have been passed by Houston. In this circumstance, you would have been passed by Houston, which you didn't expect to be passed by Houston this year. You would have been lapped by Oklahoma City. The Lakers would have been ahead of you again all of a sudden. Damn them, right? Like, I think you'd feel like you're losing ground, and I think there would be changes, and I think there would be have to be some examination of the philosophies going forward. I do think – now, again, can I see a path to writing this? Of course I can. It's kind of surprising that they hadn't lost three straight games till now. That's a, that should be something that you – is a point of pride – they've lost them all at end-of-the-game scenarios that they could have won. Mind you, they could have lost four straight in the last seconds had Kevin Durant hit that previous shot. So of course,
or if Grayson makes a free throw and Bol Bol makes a free throw.
Of course I see a way out of this. The way out is health and victory. The way out's the way out is what it has always been. It's good health and wins. And but right now it looks a little grim. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. I'll tell you about the Frame Corner. The Frame Corner is the place where Claire and I just went last week. She had two prints. One was from the home where she grew up in. It's a print that she values very, very much, and she wanted to get it custom framed. That's why you do that. And then she walked in there, and Claire is herself an artist, but she said to the person helping her, "You're much better at this than I am." And so they pick out the perfect frame and the perfect matting and the perfect, and it sets it off. And again, you have something that you will keep forever, treasure forever. It means something to you. It's why you take it in to be custom framed, honestly, whether it's a sports memorabilia connection or collection or something else. And they've been doing it for 50 years. 5035 Park Avenue, 5035 Park Avenue, framequartermemphis.com. 445-0929, 445-0929. If you want to talk about this, is this the low point? Do you see a way out? What concerns you most? Those are the questions on the table. Is this the low point? What concerns you most? Do you see a way out? If you want to talk about any of that, the phone number is 445-0929. Don't have to answer all three. Pick one. We'll talk about it. And then we got Tigers to talk about, other NFL stuff. Chris Harrington's going to join us at the top of the show, and then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It is a busy day on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Jeffrey, we're doing it again, man. We're taking calls again. 445-0929, 445-0929. Is this the low point? What's the way out? What's your biggest concern? You can answer one or all. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we're going to start with Tony in Germantown. Tony, you're on.
Hey, Tony.
Good morning, Jeff. How you doing? And Jeffrey. But, you know, you go to Walmart, and you're looking at the toothpaste.
Yeah.
And you see Crest and Colgate and great value. You get great value, and then you know you go to Mavis Sedati at the Smile Center.
Yeah, I do.
And they tell you you got a cavity.
Oh, no.
And you say, but Doc, I brush every day.
Yeah.
But you brushing with great value.
Yeah.
And so when you got okay, it's all right, and it'll start off with a big bang. But it always fills it out. Every season, Taylor Jenkins, we start off high. I mean, we was even at one at one point a few years ago. We ended up in two going into the playoffs. Barely made it past Minnesota. I mean, if he played Minnesota in the playoffs, he's going to win. Anybody else he playing in the playoffs, it seemed like
so
he ain't good
saying,
enough.
And just to put this together.
You got just good enough, you might just have to move on. I think it might be time for a change. It seemed like the players and checked out on him. But on top of that, they just don't have it when it comes down to the end of it. And right now, your defense is so freaking off. How you get that back? Especially with Jaren out now.
You're saying the team crests early in the season. That's what you're saying. What toothpaste? You're ready to change toothpaste. Is that the message here? Seems like you're ready to change toothpaste.
Need, you, you, you need to find Chris or Colgate right now.
All right. See you. Appreciate it. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. That's 445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Nick in downtown.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'd have been better if we won last night, but, I've been seeing it all season when we play, and that this offense they're trying to run, we don't have the personnel to do it. Personally, I don't think. You have to have 2 point guards, and, we're obviously not running that. We got Dez and Luke running it, which, it's fine, but, you see the turnovers and all that stuff last night. But it's a cute idea for, like, the regular season, but when it's getting towards the end of the season and everybody's fighting for position and, getting to the playoffs, it's time to dump it. Just go back to Grizzlies basketball, let John make plays, and, I'd rather see that.
Not a fan of this offense. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, let's go to Chris in Cordova. Chris, you're on.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Jeff. Full disclosure, I am a Memphis transplant from Indianapolis, so I know mediocre basketball. You guys do not have a mediocre team.
No.
You have a team where you guys are treating it like a toy collector trying to keep it in the box up on the shelf. You need to rip the cellophane off, rip the bubble wrap off, and play these players like you're getting ready for playoff basketball. Stop being conservative. You have the Cavaliers in 10 days. Ja, Dez, Jaren need 40 minutes out there. You need to show them that you can play 40 minutes.
Stop with the damn bubble wrap. How's it working? How's the bubble wrap working anyway?
Do they get to the playoffs healthy?
Playoff basketball. Show that you can play playoff basketball or blow it up, but you can't do both.
Right.
You cannot keep it on the shelf, and you cannot take this serious. If you want to win games, play your players. That's it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks. There you go. So far, we've got a toothpaste metaphor and a toy box metaphor on the shelf. I like that one.
Both make insanely good sense.
Yeah. 445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, we got a Wes in North Memphis. Wes, you're on.
Hello, Wes.
How are you? How you doing?
I'm good.
Look. If this is proven anything, this shows that NBA fans have telenovela levels of dramaticism. It's a 3-game losing streak. It's not the end of the world. So what I will say, though, is super concerning. I don't ever want to see point guard Dez ever again. Like, that is literally, if I see Desmond Bain dribbling the ball with a hole in the ground in hardwood, standing at the top of the key again, that I'm just going to lose my mind. But outside of that, we'll be fine. Let's get our people back. We still got time until the playoffs. It's cool. Relax. We're fine.
Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it. A little dose of perspective there. From Wes, 445-0929. Jeffrey, who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Tim and Bartlett. Tim, you're on.
Hey, Jeff. I love your show.
Thanks.
The core of Jaren, Ja, and Dez have not played together near enough over the years to have any kind of whatever you need to get to the next level. He needs to play them. Play them and get out of the way.
Now, the problem with playing them is like, Jaren's hurt and Ja's hurt. You can't really play them when two of them aren't even suited up.
I agree.
Yeah, so that is one of the problems now. And it has been a problem. You're Ja suspended. You're Ja hurt. But yes, I take your point. Thank you very much. 445-0929. Let's just take a few more, Jeffrey, then we'll move on. If you're on, we'll
go to you. So we got three on the line.
If you're on the line, we'll go to you. Go ahead.
Jeff, we got a Bobby in Midtown. Bobby, you're on.
Hey, Bobby.
Good morning, Jeff and Jeffrey.
How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. Hey, I don't have any metaphors for you, sorry.
Oh, that's disappointing.
But where I'm at right now is just so discouraging.
Oh,
it's the low point of the season for me, for sure.
It is.
But it's so discouraging, and here's what it is. I mean, if we were 20 games into the season, that'd be one thing. But we've got 20 games left with all these injuries, defensive questions, rotation questions, toughness questions, coaching questions. We need 60 games to answer those questions, not 20.
It's weird because the Grizzlies stood pat at the trade deadline, and it feels like they have more questions than teams that shook it up at the trade deadline that should be having to figure things out. I take your point. All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
He's discouraged, Jeffrey. No metaphor. And he didn't even come with a metaphor.
Well, there is kind of a my team is on the floor. You sure?
Right, right. Yeah. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to James in West Memphis. James, you're on.
Hey, James.
Good afternoon. I enjoyed your show. First of all, the Grizzlies got three problems.
Okay.
One problem is with the speed they're playing, they turn the ball over a lot.
True.
They're soft on defense.
They're soft on defense. They turn the ball over a lot.
They're soft.
Or are those separate problems? They're soft, they play crappy defense lately, and they turn the ball over. Those are the problems?
Those are the three problems.
I think do you have solutions, though?
I think they need to slow it down. They're dribbling too much and change the speed that they're playing in, and I think they'll be better banging down.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Last call on this topic, Jeffrey.
Jeff, let's go to Wes in South Haven. Wes, you're on.
Out of Wes's today. Hey, Wes.
Well, Wes was on.
Wes was on. That's it for Wes. We wrap this up today. We ended it. We did this yesterday. We appreciate it. We always appreciate it when people call. We'll resume this conversation about what ails the Grizzlies and last night's third straight gut punch when Chris Harrington joins us at the top of the show. Also tonight, by the way, they're unveiling the TA, the Tony Allen film that Michael Blevins puts together, does such a fabulous job. That is tonight, and you can see it starting Thursday, I believe, on their YouTube channel, I think is correct. So that's kind of fun. It's Mardi Gras today, Jeffrey. It's Fat Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice as well. And it is also the day on which NFL teams have to either tag or not tag their players. T. Higgins, tagged.
And they still claim they're going to try to get deal done.
They're
they said that last year too.
Sam Darnold will not be tagged.
That to me seems...
We talked about that yesterday. Yeah. If they tag him, you owe him $40 million.
Correct.
Here's the thing. If you were Sam Darnold, because the argument is they still want to, quote unquote, try to sign him, right? If you were Sam Darnold and you were offered a one-year deal for $30 million, let's just say, from the Vikings. I'm not saying that they are, but I can't imagine if they really don't see him as the quarterback of the future, I would think they would give him another one-year deal, right? I don't see why they would give him multiple years. But so if you're giving him a one-year deal for $30 million and you're Sam Darnold, or you can take 4 years at $40 million from one of the other teams.
Sure.
What are you doing?
I think you have to do the 4 years, $40 million. Like, what are the odds?
That's $160 million.
What are the odds?
Like, you've got to take it. You may not even win the job in Minnesota.
I mean, the other thing is, it's like, what are the odds that you're going to have another opportunity to be one of the most desired offseason?
Yeah. It's a thin quarterback. We know. You are the world's tallest. I don't know. Are we allowed to say midget anymore? I think we are again.
Yeah,
I think there are a few years where we couldn't say midget. I think one of the good things is we are allowed to say midget again. And
you've always been a height supremacist.
So you are. you're the world's tallest midget in this offseason. And so I think you have to take advantage of it. Other NFL news. Shadur, Jeffrey, this is going to come shocking to you. Some NFL people say that he was brash and arrogant in his meetings with teams.
Okay.
There you go. There are two different
you were
mock,
expecting.
There are two mock. I was expecting. Yes. Humble. Now, there's two different mocks out today, Jeffrey. One is Jordan Reed's.
Yep. At ESPN.
And one is Dane Brugler's over at The Athletic. Both Cam Ward, Giants after a trade up.
It seems like that is the buzz right now, is that the Giants are going to make the move to move up. I'm fine with it. I think Cam is the best quarterback in the draft. Do I think Cam is going to be a top five player? No, but you got to try.
I think that's right. You got to try. He has some dynamic talent.
He certainly does. He can make literally every throw. He's athletic. He knows how to play the position. Does he turn it over at times? Sure. But he makes a lot of throws that you go, holy cow.
Jimmy Johnson retiring from Fox. I have to say, the part of the story there that surprised me was Jimmy Johnson is 81.
So
he seems ageless, right? Like you could have told me, I would have guessed. I mean, I would if I had done the math, I might have come up with 81, right? But if I just said, how old is Jimmy Johnson? Top of my head, I would have said 74, right? Or 73. Like he does 81. That's pretty old. Well, no wonder he wants to kick back a little bit.
Well, like the other thing is like him and Jerry are the same age and one looks well worn compared to the other.
And one's had a lot of work done. They both have?
I think they both probably have had
both
some.
Had some work done.
But I think the thing, though, that...
Do you like Jimmy as a commentator?
I liked him fine. I mean, to me, there was... Before the Super Bowl, Fox did a pregame thing where they did this, like, AI-generated look at Jimmy throughout his entire career. Like, it was like...
I missed that.
And so it was weird to me. It's like, I guess he's retiring, but they didn't say anything, and it took,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, this is official.
Yeah.
So he's retiring. And then, of course... Tigers play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They play at UTSA. Quick turnaround. If you want to worry about this game, and I worry about them all. I worry about them all because you're not allowed to lose any and because things can happen. If you want to worry about this game, it's the quick turnaround, right? It's the you were
sure.
just dancing in the locker room,
yep.
right? Like you were just dancing. You just acted like you won. The season was over. You had your championship regular season title secured, you had your number one seed secured, and you had your seed in the NCAA tournament secured. That was like the vibe after you go down to beat UAB, right? All celebration. Sometimes, I don't know if you've been in this position, Jeffrey, sometimes when you celebrate one night, it's a little harder to get up the next morning.
Yes, I will
say. And this is the next morning.
I will say this, though. I think there is more hope for them getting a better seed than I think people kind of thought last
What do you
week.
Think the ceiling is? The ceiling on their seed.
Munz and I were talking about this. I think the realistic ceiling is a 5. He did talk me into, if enough things broke the right way, maybe you sneak up to a 4.
So you definitely think it's higher than a 6?
Yes.
I was saying the realistic ceiling is a 6. You
I think
they
can get to a 5.
The realistic ceiling is a 5.
Because if you look at it right now, while a lot of people can roll their eyes at the AP Top 25. There is some correlation between the AP Top 25 and seeding. And right now they're at 16. If they win out, they're not going down. And a lot of the teams in front of them end up playing each other. And so you could wind up being somewhere in that 10 to 12 range. And
there wasn't any correlation on the first unveiling of the...
Yeah, but now like a lot of those teams...
And they've lost once since.
But a lot of those other teams have been taking a lot of losses.
UTSA is 11-17, only 5-11 in conference. They did just beat the hell out of Rice, a Rice team that you struggled with. They beat the hell out of Rice, 84-56. Again, I'm always looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They're 19th in the country in forcing turnovers. They are third in the country. I got to look hard, Jeffrey, for trouble.
No, I mean, I think
they're third in the country.
I don't think you have to look hard. I think you have to go back to your original point. You just had
partied.
Sunday, and now you got to turn right around.
They're third in the country in free throw percentage, and they're eighth in the country in fast break points. They're not a good team, obviously. They're 5-11 in a horrific conference, but they did just beat the hell out of Rice. Maybe that was their season.
Mm-hmm.
North Texas won last night, so with a win tonight, the Tigers would clinch a share of the title. They don't clinch the outright title. They clinch a share of the title.
And the number one
tonight.
Seed.
And the number one seed tonight. So that can all happen.
Jeff, we have a little bit of breaking news
What's the little bit of breaking news?
According to Sham Sharania of ESPN, Dallas Mavericks all-star Kyrie Irving has suffered a season-ending torn ACL in his left knee. How's that trade looking?
What a freaking disaster.
And then they raised ticket prices yesterday.
And then they raised
ticket prices. To invest in the team.
8%. You've got people protesting. Now you lose Kyrie for the season. And you're raising ticket prices 8%.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the old misery loves company thing. As bad as you might be feeling, Memphis Grizzly fans, it's a hell of a lot. It's a hell of a lot better than
you
that.
Could be, well, in Dallas.
I would be so enraged. And by the way, Luka, great again. Like, I would be so enraged. Bad things can happen to your team.
Sure.
They can get injured. Stuff can happen. Whatever. Players can force a trade away from your team. You just gave away a true epic franchise player.
And you didn't even take it to market.
You think you're the smartest guy in the freaking room.
Well, it's like, my thing is, okay, we can disagree about Luka. But the idea that you're not taking him to market is so, like, as a fan, like, that's just irresponsible.
I stop at the trading Luka thing.
I mean, I agree. Yes, I'm with you, but at the same time, like, okay, I can at least...
It's enraging.
But you know what I mean? Like, you can at least put yourself...
And so is this karma? Do you believe in karma? I don't.
Not really.
It's bad fortune. It's bad fortune. All right, we got a busy second hour. We got Chris Harrington coming up next, then Fish on Friday, on Tuesday after that. Before then, I will tell you, listen, if you own a home, I'm certain that you have gotten people calling you or writing you or whatever, mail, those unsolicited cash offers that you get all the time. Newsflash. I was talking to Josh Heisa and his team. I wasn't talking to the whole team. I was talking to Josh. But from his team at Keller Williams Realty, and he told me what, of course, you know, those unsolicited offers are for dramatically less money than the home is actually worth. Of course they are. Josh Heisa does cash offers, and he wants you to get every penny. He wants you to get the ease of taking the cash offer for your home, and he wants to give you full market value. You don't have to take my word for it. Call them and see for yourself. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. Or you can go to Google, pop in his Josh Heisa, and you'll see that he's got more than 300 five-star Google reviews. The phone number, once again, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.